Good morning, people. It's still morning. Quadcast time. Today is the first episode of Quadcast. I got Jackie Gill right over here, and obviously nobody knows who the fuck I am, but I'm here. I'm ready to do this. Jackie, are you excited for Quadcast?
I'm so excited. I'm beyond. Like, we've been waiting for this for how long now?
We've been working on it for a bit. We've had a couple fiascos. We actually already recorded this episode, but we're recording it again because of technical difficulties. I don't know what it is. The gains gods have not frowned. They've frowned upon us making this podcast thus far, but today they give us their blessing to make the greatest quadcast. So this podcast, you guys, if you don't know what it is yet, it's about wellness. It's all about the wellness division. You know, we're going to talk about wellness all the time. We're also going to bring in a lot of health and wellness stuff, too. Jackie has a ton of great ideas we're going to bring and everything else that's going to come to play here. Jackie, why don't you explain to the people a little bit about yourself, who you are? Because obviously, you know, me and you, we've been working together like 2-3 days at this point, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, a whole week for peak week only. I hired you for peak week.
That's it. So, dive in, Jackie.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm a coach with Team Flex. I've been with the team for a year now. And let's see. Oh, my God. No. Are we on year two?
Of you coaching or you being in that? Because there's two. We got two timelines we're working
with. We have
with,
right? Two anniversaries. So, yeah. First anniversary. We've been working together for 2 years now, almost exactly, as an athlete coach relationship. And then I started coaching with Team Flex last June.
Yes. And, you know, Jackie has a lot of, she's a wellness competitor. So this is one of the reasons we're quadcasting. By the way, today's topic, I didn't get to it. I'm going to throw it now because this is how I am. We're going to talk about how do you know you should be competing in the wellness division. So we'll get to that shortly. Stick with us, you guys. And it's a brand new show. So if you can go ahead and follow, subscribe, even share this with somebody you know competes in wellness, it would be really helpful to us to help get this out there. Okay. But Jackie, yes, I remember I met you at a Tahoe show, right? For the first time, you came up to the booth. And you and Kevin were just straight talking shit to me. Kevin being your husband, he's also competing with you this weekend. Very exciting stuff. And you guys just came up straight talking shit. Who's this Team Flex guy? We hate this guy. And then, no.
I was so like, who's this guy in a suit? This guy in a suit.
Yes, I am usually the only guy in a suit at a bodybuilding show. I don't know why, but hey, I thought it was fun to do it. Anyway, that was what, Jackie? Remind me. I didn't train you for that, obviously, but that was your first kind of wellness competition at that point, right?
Right. So 2020, the wellness division was introduced into the NPC IFBB. So I have always been told I have big quads, and I was like, okay, I don't really want to be super small, like bikini and atrophy my legs. And so I did my first wellness show and I won the Masters overall.
Boom. First time.
So I mean, obviously it was all new and it was during COVID. So the classes were small and it was a smaller show, but it kind of just lit my fire. Like I am good or decent at this and I want to give it a go. And here we are, shows later and we're still doing the damn thing.
Yeah. And you're in peak week right now. You're in peak week. I asked Jackie yesterday, I said, hey, you still want to record this show in peak week, you know, but she's not dying, folks. Nobody's dying on peak week over here with this one, right? It's pretty, you know, balanced out and stable when, you know, you got the right thing. So it's very exciting. What show are you competing at this weekend, Jackie?
So this weekend, I'm doing a show in my hometown, Fresno, California, which is in the heart of the Central Valley. We make all the food for the entire country.
Boom.
Not really, but mostly. It's farming town, and a lot of people pass through here going to LA, going to San Francisco. So we're centrally located. The show's coming here. It's right in my backyard, and it's called the Fresno Classic. So we've got some big judges there. It's a spectrum show, but they've partnered with Muscle Contest. So we get some good judges. We get some good feedback, and I happen to just get to wake up and drive over there and go to the show. So.
Yeah. So Jackie, tell me and the people listening a little bit more about your journey as a wellness competitor. So what drew you to wellness in the first place? Like when you saw it get announced, obviously we were talking about 2020 a bit ago. What made you see like wellness and be like, you know what, I want to give this a go? Was there something specific that, you know, pulled you in towards that? Or was it just like, I'll see what I think of this. This looks fun.
Yeah. So kind of like I said before, I've always had big quads, always. Yeah. I mean, I have pictures as a baby with just legs and, I was just born with
quad
muscular
cast,
legs.
Everybody quad cast. That's
yes,
fine.
Definitely, definitely quad dominant. And I used to run, stadium sprints with my dad growing up. So he would take me to the track and make me run stadiums. He's like, mm-hmm. get your ass up there, Beltran. You know, he would just like go at me like a coach. And, so I did a lot of running. But I liked that fast, like dynamic running and right. intense. So he kind of built my legs up just from that. I didn't compete in track, but I've always loved the track. And knowing that I didn't have to diet off my legs. So just a little context, I'm 5 feet tall. Mm-hmm. And I weighed 108 pounds on my first wellness show. But you'll know, like some pro bikini girls who are 5 feet tall, they can be like 90 pounds on stage, you know? So it is a lot bigger in that context if you're talking about like size and stuff. So it is a lot more muscle on my lower body. And I love the look. It was like an athletic, muscular look, but also in the off season, this curvy feminine look. And, you know, I just felt like it fit me better because of my stature too, being short. I felt like I didn't have that bikini model look. I had more of an athletic look.
Sure. Sure. So did you ever consider doing bikini, or it was pretty much, I'm ready for wellness. I want to do wellness now that it's here. Obviously I know this stuff as your coach, but nobody else knows. So, you know, yeah. Are you going to flip and go to bikini next year, Jackie? Is that about to
oh my
be
God.
The message that I'll get later today?
So I've had these internal struggles the whole time I've been a wellness competitor. You know that as my coach, like, am I going to be big enough? And I've really just come to the conclusion that you can do good at any size in any division. You just have to be able to put the time in and do the work. And a lot of it comes down to how your off season goes. So my first round of it, I tried bikini at a natural show in 2019. Mm-hmm. And the first comment that I got was, your legs are too big. So I was like, well, damn, you know, I'm natural and I'm still too big, right? At my leanest condition, I was still too muscular. So I thought, let's just grow. Let's just get after it. And I've had my ups and downs, you know, as a competitor where I'm like, is the division getting too big for me? Can I compete? Can I keep up? But I think the future of the division is more about the shape and the condition and the look versus the size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And for those listening, Jackie is still natural as of, unless she had some steroids for breakfast. I'm not sure. She could have put it in with her Cheerios or something. I'm not sure. But she is still natty, folks, and competing in NPC Wellness. This is something you can do. So, you know, for those of you out there that don't think that that's possible, know that it is, because I know there's a lot of stigma out there in the sport. Like you said, you know, wellness division, as we've looked at it as a whole, has really developed a lot very quickly over the years. And it's kind of advanced. And, you know, even this time, me and you have compete at a couple of events, had you, you know, doing, we did Fresno before, we're doing Fresno again, Fresno, 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 people, that's where it's at. And that's where Jackie's at, you know, kicking
your
butt with training. But, you know, so from perspective as your coach, I've noticed different things with each of our preps, right? We've talked about a lot of them, but, you know, previous preps, we've done pretty much the same things in a sense, right? We've done macros, tracking of macros. We've done training, obviously. And then we're always looking at optimizing lifestyle and making adjustments there too. This prep, however, though, you brought into the table another kind of level of stuff, right? Where you kind of changed some things around with your food choices. You changed some things around as far as, I don't know, just like what we could call wellness, right? Not the wellness division, but overall health and wellness. So tell me a little bit about that, Jackie.
Yeah. So just learning that I could optimize my physique through certain food choices and lifestyle factors. I was listening to something that Phil Heath had said, and he's like, you know, he only ate grass-fed organic beef or, you know, organic meats, because he's like, imagine, and Happy Kills, right? So I have a nephew who does, he works in the meat industry. And so he's partnered with farmers and things. And he talks about the Happy Kill, like when the animal's slaughtered, how they're slaughtered and if they're happy, it depends on how the meat turns out. So the quality of your food, how the chickens are raised. So I got into a little bit more of quality with my food, focusing on that versus quantity versus type. It was all about the quality of the food. Like if I want to look a certain way, then I need to be healthy starting from the inside. And, you know, of course this goes into my coaching methods and how I coach my clients, but it was something like the application for myself. We all know what we should do. And then we're like, yeah, but I'm different. I can get away with X, Y, Z. Right.
Right.
So eliminating processed food, really going whole food, high fat, high quality fat, like animal fat and things like that, to just bring out this completely different look. It's how I optimize myself, because I don't have enhancements, right? So food is my drug, food is my fuel, and it's going to determine how I look. And so absolutely changed my diet from variety to more just like quality and focused on nutrition.
Yep, 100%. And that's the thing, you know, it's interesting because we did, like I said, do the same methods to prep, where we're doing still macros, we're still doing, you know, this kind of cardio, we're still doing, you know, a lot of same things, but the food choices themselves, you know, I'm telling you in your check-in, obviously, that this is, in my opinion, you know, 10 times better physique for you than we brought, which still won competition. So there are always changes that you can be, you know, improving with and making to everything as you kind of advance through the layers. And that's something we'll talk about a lot on the show, you guys. Jackie, so now you've been coaching wellness competitors now for a little bit too. How is that going? What's your favorite part of coaching a wellness competitor?
Oh man, I get to push them like an athlete. So they want to train. They want to train intense. They love leg day. There's a level, like I'm finding that a lot of the girls come from an athletic background. So they want to be kind of continuing on their athleticism in that journey. They maybe, you know, played sports in high school or college, and they want a place to compete. And I think that's the best part about the NPC, is it gives athletes that drive and excitement and a goal to continue to compete and push their body. So keep, you know, if you were a college athlete and you woke up every day and you had training every day, twice a day, and you knew exactly what you were supposed to do, and you have a coach, and then you graduate and you just feel like, what's my purpose now? You know, why do I want to work out? Or a lot of people rebound. So it's a great goal. That's my favorite part, is coaching athletes. I can push them. I can push them and challenge them, and they're committed and dedicated to their goals.
Yeah. And that's the thing people got to understand, you know, bodybuilding may be like aesthetic based from the judging perspective, but there is a whole side of it that is highly performance based. If you want to do the best, right? Like you do have to be able to perform in the gym and out of the gym and in different cardios and in different settings and different, you know, high intensity interval protocols and everything else to be your best athlete. And it's to a degree that is a bit different than, you know, like bikini, obviously, because you have to hold a lot more muscle in wellness, especially lower body. And you actually have to do it disproportionately, right? Like you have to maintain a certain look up top and not bring the exact same look lower body, and kind of have this disproportionately dominant lower body. If you don't have that, then you basically are a level of a bikini competitor, right? And athletes do get that feedback where they go to wellness and they think they got these really big quads, legs, glutes, and they get to stage and they get off stage and judges are like, this is bikini. You got to take a step back. And the same thing happens the other way, right? Like bikini competitors coming in with bigger quads might need to go to wellness. So this episode today, we're going to tell you, you know, our tools, our tips, our ideas, our strategies for figuring out what division you want to do, because this is probably like over the years now. How many damn years has it been? 4 years now since this division has started. This is the most common question that I ever get. And we talked about it a little bit on the first episode that you guys didn't hear. This is the first episode you're hearing because we're doing it again. But we're going to go a real in-depth today and just give you an idea of, you know, some of the things. And Jackie talked a little bit about it, right? Like, she always had big quads. She always was kind of like attracted to the look. But there's a lot more to consider when you're going to decide what division you're going to compete in, because there is this huge difference between each division, even though, you know, to the untrained eye, and it's crazy to me, coaches say this too. There's coaches on Instagram and stuff coaching bikini and wellness, and they say that it's the same physique virtually, right? Like, they train them the same way. And I see people getting this, and, like, you know, outside eye say, I don't notice the difference, but it's like, what? You're crazy. There's a massive difference between bikini and wellness. You coach some bikini girls too, Jackie, right?
I do. Yes. Yeah. And I have a girl who's actually interested in figure now. So I kind of have it all going on.
Got it all. And obviously I have got it all for a long time and many, many of them. So we got a lot of good tips for you guys. A good idea. So first thing that really comes down to knowing what division you want to go to, in my opinion, is really kind of understanding the basis of the criteria. So that's kind of where I would start it. The criteria for wellness, Jackie, what are we really looking at, you know, from the perspective of what judges want to see? I know you just chat with Sandy a little bit about criteria even like a week ago, right? So give us a little bit more insight into what they're telling you they want to see kind of right now on the wellness stage in any kind of level.
Yeah. So I went to a Spectrum seminar. Sandy was there, Kimoto, some of the judges, and I was able to kind of just get an idea. So basically, we determine what shows up on stage as coaches, right? And athletes. And they reiterated the fact that this is our sport and we are the consumer as athletes. We're paying to play a sport. So how we choose to show up, what we want to look like, what we want to bring in the premise of obviously following the criteria, of course, but bringing that interpretation on our physique is really important. And you can't look like someone else and expect to do well. You have to maximize your potential on your frame. So my frame being 5 feet, a lot more muscle may not look really good on my body either. So you just have to think about that too. The ratios are really important, but they want to see a larger lower body, obviously lower body dominance than bikini. Mm-hmm. And the criteria actually says slightly larger, but it seems to be much larger, right? It is a lot more muscle and we're seeing that. And every division is going to push the limits, but for sure, you do want to have a lower body dominance, larger quads, larger glutes, larger hamstrings. And then they are kind of on par with bikini as far as the upper body goes. Mm-hmm. But it is said in the criteria that it is a slightly larger upper body than bikini, but not much, you know, not much. You shouldn't be looking like women's physique posing in wellness.
Yes, yes, exactly. So you definitely still are a bodybuilder, which is important to remember, right? Like, I always say that to all, and for some reason, some women get scared by that. But hey, you know what? That is what we're doing, right? If you're building your body to look
a certain way.
Yes, exactly. Every single class is still in the scope of bodybuilding. It doesn't mean you're going to look like Ronnie Coleman. It doesn't mean you're looking like Jay Cutler, ladies. Don't worry about that. That's a different thing. But, you know, bikini, wellness, figure, women's physique, women's bodybuilding, they're all still bodybuilding divisions in the kind of hierarchy, because what you do is you build your body, right? So you're building muscle in a certain way to look a certain way. And that's what wellness is. It's a look where you still have to have that muscle base up top. You still got to have, you know, shape to the shoulders. You know, the arms got to kind of match that. Everything's got to tie in well together there. You got to have the taper under the waist. And then you got to be disproportionately bigger lower body, bigger glutes, bigger quads, bigger hamstrings. You should not look symmetrical. If you do, it's a point to kind of score down for you, right? If you go to stage, like I said, and you're too symmetrical, judges will be like, what? And we even see this at the pro level. You guys, I do a lot of competition reviews. I dive into criteria on my YouTube and talk about things like this. And you'll see that even top call out pros, in my opinion, some of the ones that are on the outside of the call outs not winning the competitions, it's because they're coming in too symmetrical. So this is a factor where, again, you know, you can't just go to the gym and just do, oh, it's upper body day, it's lower body day, it's this and that. You can't follow the generic splits and the generic ideas, because, again, you have to look at your physique, like Jackie said, and know where your point is to fit that. Like, it is good to look at the pros for to get an idea of criteria and who's winning shows and what that means. But again, judges only judge what is on the stage, right? So you're to look at a pro and say, I want to be, you know, Francielli, I want to be Issa, I want to be all the, you know, if you do that and you try to train to look like them, it's probably for one, never going to happen. And for two, it wouldn't be probably be a good result on stage because they are them because they enhanced their own look themselves. They went in and looked at themselves, figured out how to bring their best. So the criteria, though, in a loose way, because I talk too much, is a lower body dominant physique, you know, and it is not like bikini in that sense, because bikini is hourglass and it's up, down, left, right, exactly the same, you know, symmetry, shape, proportion all across the board, left to right, up and down. You got to have symmetry. Wellness, you don't want to. You want to look dominant in the lower body. So first things first, if you like that look, right, then that's a good point. That's one. You can say, OK, one ticket right there to Wellnessville is if you like the idea of having a lower body dominant look, because a lot of women do. And there's a lot of women that don't compete, by the way, that do still like that look. Right. Obviously, like you, Jackie, you mentioned you kind of always had that look. You kind of always wanted that look. There are women that really like that look. And then there's also women that do not, right? Like I find that there's also those that are like, no way, I don't want big quads like that. I have these certain weird jeans that I really want to wear that I won't be able to wear if I get big quads, right? So Jackie, how many pairs of jeans do your quads fit into? Not many, right?
So I will say this, like I have worked my whole life to try to get skinny legs because I've always had these big legs. So I've done a lot of crazy diets and things over the years. I mean, I'm going to be 40 years old this year. So I've tried every freaking thing. And I grew up in the thigh gap era, like Jane Fonda and, you know, Christie Brinkley and all these really pretty models that were just skinny. And you're like, I'm never going to look like that. So, you know, no matter what I do, I'll never be a Victoria's Secret supermodel. I can't. Like, my genetics aren't there. But my genetics are there for looking athletic. And I haven't always had this shape either, that Coke bottle look. That took years of refining and building a physique exactly how I want it. So I've had coaches before that kind of just made me lift weights all over to get big and get muscular and get size. And it blocked my back out, blocked my waist out, made me look like a barnyard door versus like a bodybuilder. So I look like, I told Kevin the other day, I said, I felt like I look like a Lego. Like you're just a square and then you have these blocky muscles. You're going to put muscle on if you lift heavy weights, but changing the way I've trained to kind of create that Coke bottle look is, it's been an absolute game changer.
Coke bottle look. I like this
term.
It's
a Coke bottle, not a Coke can. The Coke can is round. Okay.
Coke can is bad.
But Coke the bottle,
that's the way. Okay, good. Hashtag Coke bottle and get buried in probably a bunch of weird things. But anyway, okay, yeah, I mean, that is definitely a factor, right? And it is something you got to consider. If it's not the look that you want, then it's probably right there. You can stop. You can turn this episode off right now. If you don't like the thought of a dominant lower body, all the time, by the way, I didn't say that yet, but all the time, because, you know, Jackie, like I said, you didn't even comment on the jeans comment because, you know,
I don't wear jeans.
Yeah, exactly. There's probably not many of them, right? That is a factor for people, right? So Jackie's coming into her competition this weekend. We've done, you know, a standard prep for it, you know, like a standard prep for most people is going to be 12 weeks, 16 weeks, something in there. So, you know, coming to stage for that short period of time, all the things you have to do. But Jackie still looks like a wellness competitor all the time otherwise, right? And yes, there's improvement seasons and your body looks different. It's not stage conditioning. It's not all these things. But she's definitely still going to always have that over-dominant lower body look, right? And so that's something all ladies listening got to consider when you go out there. You know, you're talking about a lower body dominant look 365 stage or not. So that means your jeans, they don't fit. You know, that means you're not putting that on all the time, you know. And I keep saying the jeans thing because I've heard this from people, especially as the division was coming out, like girls that were getting into wellness and then they train and, you know, we're getting them all jacked up. The lower body's looking jacked and they're like, oh, my favorite jeans don't fit. That's kind of a deal breaker for me because I can't, I'm only competing two, three times a year, maybe only once, and I still can't wear these all the other times. Well, yeah. So, you know, if you are the person that really likes the more kind of bikini look that is symmetrical, up, down, left, right, that's the perfect symmetry of the hourglass shape, then great. If you want the Coke bottle, the lower body dominant hourglass look, then wellness is the place, because there are people that really just don't care, you know, for the bikini look. And there's alternatively some that don't care for the wellness look. And you got to kind of first one, look at that and say, what do I want to go to? And also, Jackie, I think this, it is important to consider what level of competing you want to do, right? Like, right, if you want to go do a, like a fun show, fun competition, you just want to do it. It's a bucket list kind of item, right? Like, I just want to do one competition. I'm going to go do Fresno. I'm going to go do, you know, Orange County. I'm going to go do Anaheim. I'm going to go do something that's not one of these big deal, you know, national level shows, pro card qualifier events, and you just want to go do it and say you did it and you're going to go back to whatever, right? There's those people. There's also the people that like just competing at the amateur league that never consider a pro card. And then there's people that want to get a pro card. And then there's people that get a pro card and they want to do well at pro shows, right? So I think almost part of it means that you got to go look too at, like, what is the upper echelon? Not to say that you want to compare, but the upper echelon of whatever goal you're going to achieve, well, you can know, okay, like if you say you want to stand top five at Olympia, that means you eventually would stand next to Francielli as it sits now, Issa right now. And, you know, some of the other kind of, in other words, mass monster wellness competitors, right? And if that's something that you don't see as a long-term goal for you, to say that that's a goal, then okay, figure out where your goal really is. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Did that ever come up for you, Jackie? Did that ever change other levels and things like that through time?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm just, and I think the sport attracts competitive people and competitive nature. We've talked about that, you know, the athletic background and things, but it's, you have to be realistic too. So what are my genetics? What are my limitations? What does my lifestyle look like? How old am I when I'm just starting out? If you're 50 years old and you are barely doing your first competition, the chances of you going to the Open Olympia are very slim, right? So being realistic in your goal setting and having a good coach to guide you as well, to lay that out for you and help you to get control of the mindset going in. Cause I was just like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to become a pro. I'm going to be blah, blah, blah. And you know, you're just like so intense about it. Because you can do well doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, Miss Olympia. So you can do well at the amateur level. You can also do well at the national level, but what is your goal beyond that? And your reasoning is really important. Yep.
Yes. And that is really important to factor into your goal overall, because again, you know, if you are the quote unquote soccer mom that wants to do it as a bucket list item, right, then you get to win by doing that. Right. So your goal then is to maybe, you know, it's not everybody's goal is even to win, by the way. Like, a lot of people don't have that goal. Some people literally, especially when they first start, they just want to do it. They just want to achieve it. And, you know, for a first time competitor, that is an important part of it. You almost have to get in the arena to know what it's like to train for that, right? To actually know what it's going to take to continue to go further. So some people, they're fine with just saying, I want to go compete. Some people want to place top five. Some people want to win. And then, so you got to look at that, and you got to look at that at every level. Like, okay, the things you got to do to win the backyard competition that's happening in your local town or whatever, somewhere near you, is going to be vastly different than the things you got to do to win a pro card at nationals up against like 50 other winners in that class, right? So that's the big thing. So you really do have to factor in your actual goals with that. And I'm glad you brought it up, Jackie, to be realistic, because I say this all the time on consult calls and things. The two things that I've heard most in my career, and this is thousands of competitors that I've worked with over time, like literally over the years, I've been doing this for fucking ever. I probably need to go to a mental ward at this point for how many times I've had to talk people off the ledges and things. But the main things that I hear all the time, literally, like for prospects, for people coming in, people want to sign up, people want to do this and that, I say, what are your goals? And people say one of two things, like probably 98% of the time, and usually both. First one is, I want to get a pro card. Second one is, I want to go to Olympia, okay? And I hear this every single time, like 98% of the time, those are the goals I hear from people. It's not really so much, hey, I want to go work and see how I do at this first show. I want to win the show. Then I want to get the overall. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that that has something to do with the fact that the sport is so accessible? Because anyone can do it. Anyone.
Yes.
Like anyone can go to the gym, get a decent physique, diet down, and get on stage, right? Not everyone will do it, but anyone can kind of do it. And you can do it like a transformation. You can do it novice level. So it's accessible. It's not like pro, or it's not like basketball, for example. Like I can never make a basket even if I tried. So bodybuilding is kind of accessible to the gen pop, and people also have Instagram. And so they see Susie down the street did it, and I could do it too. So it makes you think that there's like this accessibility in the sense of like anyone can play, but not everyone can be a pro and not everyone can be a professional athlete in life. Like that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So they kind of dumb it down and make it accessible. Like I'm going to be a pro. And I'm like, you barely got here. Like you barely picked up your first set of dumbbells. What are we talking about?
Yes.
It's a sport. And then there's a pro level to it. So not everyone's going to go there. You know, not everyone wants to go there. So that's another thing to think about too.
Yes. And a lot of people aren't willing to do the work that it actually takes to get a pro card. This is another thing I tell people, right? Like many first time competitors, you know, they may go win their first competition. They may do very well. They may get overalls. They may do this and that. They may be able to do that at the regional level all the time. And you can do that, right? Depending, because a lot of times like these regional level events, they're not, you know, like at nationals, for example, national pro card where you're attempting to get a pro card, you are against classes like 15, 20, 25, sometimes more, where every single person in that lineup probably won at least and probably actually got an overall win. So you are competing at a whole different caliber versus, you know, not the, it's just whoever shows up at a lot of these regional events. There's no qualification for it. You can show up and do whatever you want. It could be anybody. You could still need to lose 35 pounds and show up if you wanted to, and you could compete. So there is a difference in, you know, the levels, and you got to understand what the levels are and where you want to fit into those and what that really does mean to you. Cause I mean, what one thing that we talk about all the time is what can you make this look, this kind of wellness idea? How do you make that criteria fit to you and your physique? And like Jackie said, you know, there is no guarantee that you will ever become a pro. There is no guarantee that you'll ever get to Olympia. There is no, it's almost a childish, in my opinion, you know, perspective to take to say that when you haven't ever even got to that point, right, where you're even tried to get a pro card, even compete at nationals, any of those things. Like I used to go to like pretty much every nationals some years back. I don't do it anymore, but I used to go to like every single nationals. I was fucking in my, I was on a plane like every weekend of my life. I was like, what is happening right now? You know, I would sit there and I would see the same girls like for years at nationals, like in that, in like the second call out, in the third call out, in the first call out, whatever. And I would watch them compete for years in bikini, right? Like, cause I wasn't, wellness was not really off at that point right then, but you could see these athletes in bikini and figure and everything else. And they're going sometimes 3, 4, 5 years to as many national events as they could, taking feedback, competing, coming back, taking feedback, competing, coming back over and over and over to get a pro card, right? And yes, there's always going to be the Instagram, you know, the Instagram outliers, I'll call them, right? Because Instagram makes everything look like it's easy as whatever. It's, oh, just download this. Oh, just do that. Oh, just sign up here. Oh, just whatever. And now you're a wellness competitor. Well, no, it's not. You know, there's always going to be people that somehow climb the ranks faster, but they're kind of the outliers. They're definitely the outliers. Most people have to go to work and they have to go to work for a very long time and do the right things for a long time, take feedback to get there. Because bodybuilding, by the way, is what I always say, the only sport in the world where you can score the basket, you can land the touchdown, you can do whatever the hell it is, and the judges get to decide if that's true or not. They get to say, you know what? Yeah, you did. The ball went in the hoop. We see it. There it is. But you know what? Nah, it didn't. We just took that ball back out, threw it behind us, come back again, try it again. You need more glutes. That is kind of what happens, right? So, Jackie, tell me a little bit more about, you know, just – overall, something else wellness competitors need to consider if they want to be one. Like if you're sitting there right now, think like the girl, you know, who's like, okay, I want to get into this thing. I don't know if it's bikini. I don't know if it's wellness. What's one more thing that you think would tip the scale towards being a wellness competitor over bikini?
Yeah. So you have to like your physique year round and be comfortable with that shape. We talked about that. Genetics. Do you have the genetics to put muscle on? Because bikini, I think like right now it's about a 5-year physique for that pro look, you know, that's 5 years of lifting weights and being very intentional with the type of training. So I'm here at year 5 now and finally coming into this wellness shape, 5 years of lifting weights in my whole life, you know? So you've got, like you said, people coming year after year after year and really refining their look. So you can't be so arrogant to think like, oh, you know, I'm just going to step up there and I'm going to win. Like you, you got to really put the work in and realize it's a competitive sport and it's only the people that show up that matter that day. Like who shows up is how you're judged and scored. So if I were to say another thing that matters is besides genetics, besides the look, it's the way you like to train. So if you don't like to lift heavy weights, then wellness is probably not for you.
Right. Yeah. So Jackie, what is your favorite lift? Tell me real quick. Just out of curiosity.
I got one for you. So, this one has really, I put it on your Instagram. I think you had a little poll and I answered this. The V stance RDL.
Yes.
Gets me every time.
Boom,
like
boom.
Gets the tie-in, the glute, just for me. And I think for everybody, there's a different activation, but I can go heavy. I can overload that. And I just feel like it activates it so well. That's my favorite lift.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, like you said, wellness competitors, they do generally need to lift heavier and they also need to have higher volume than, you know, bikini competitors. So this is another big differential, right? Like not to say bikini doesn't train hard. They do. It's again, still bodybuilding. It is again, still a very finite look. To try to get a totally symmetrical hourglass physique is also very difficult. Like it's on par with trying to build a dominant wellness lower body. You still have to, that's the other thing, right? You got to really fit what look you want to your training in a way, right? You got to know what it's going to take. So like Jackie sessions, right? For example, I build her training. And, you know, yes, we don't over-focus on upper body because why would we? That would be silly, right? But there's certain reasons that I do that based on Jackie's actual figure structure, her physique currently. She's got to train certain groups. We got to hit certain things, but that's also dependent on where she's kind of at and what needs to improve. So training, you can't just go in and follow these generic kind of splits, these generic ideas. Like I've seen a lot of coaches that are giving all their wellness athletes bikini workouts and saying that that's what gets you there. And for one, it's flawed to just give somebody the exact same, you know, training split, the exact same this, the exact same that, because not everybody is the same. Everybody's different. But especially when you look at division to division, we're talking about two totally different looks that you need to attain. So, you know, obviously I coach a lot of wellness competitors. You coach wellness competitors too, Jackie. It is a more lower body focused training. It makes sense, right? Because you got to have a more dominant lower body. You're going to spend more time training the lower body than not. I mean, that's kind of just the way it is. But some people also really hate that shit. There's people that do not love leg day. There's a lot of them out there, right? Like there's a lot of women.
My husband hates leg day.
Yes, I know he does because I hear about it every single week. And you know what, guys? Guess what Kevin does? He's a men's physique competitor. He is in the division where, you know, it fits him and what he likes to do. So again, that correlates across the board. And I can't say that Jackie per se loves every single leg day she's ever done because they are freaking brutal and they are hard. But you know what? She has to do them. That's the difference. You got to understand if you want to have a goal like that and you know it's going to take X, Y, Z, then you will have to routinely make yourself do X, Y, Z to get the results. So if every single time you see legs on your program, you're like, oh my God. You know, and like I have most wellness athletes training legs 3 days a week.
I was just going to say that.
Body brutality. Yeah. Brutal. You feel like you want to crawl your way home after it because it that's what it takes, you know? So if you see that and you're like, no, that sounds terrible. That's disgusting. Well, you know what? Think about it. Maybe it's not the right division for you because you will have to train like that all of the time to not only get the look, but keep it. And, you know, Jackie, so you've trained obviously a little bit of ways. You only trained though for 5 years, as you said, right? That's always crazy to me too. That's always really awesome because I always forget that. I'm always like, what?
Yes.
What?
I
feel like you've been working out your whole life.
No, I did a lot of cardio, you know, like I said, being of that generation of trying to be skinny and stuff. But I've never trained like a bodybuilder until I was 35 years old. I set a goal and I'm like, hey, I want to look different. You know, I want to try this strength training thing. So picking up weights later in life, it's still, and that I hope to, you know, inspire people as well. You can start at any age with this sport too. Mm-hmm. So if you decide that you want to get into bodybuilding and you want to be a competitor, you can do that whenever you want to, you know, you can start working on that goal. But there is a limit with bikini. I do feel like as far as muscularity, you can get to a point where it is too much muscle and you have to atrophy or you have to come down. And so if you love to train intensely and you feel like you're going to be doing this a long time, wellness might be a good fit for you because you can push yourself past, you know, certain limitations that maybe are set for you with bikini.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, alternatively to that too, you can also push it too far in wellness and you might need to look at figure. So again, there's just a million different spots. You really got to see. The main thing I say to people all the time when you're trying to look at, you know, what division to do, bikini, wellness, and figure. First off, I have a quiz on this. I wish I had the link in my head. It's on the website. We'll put it in the show notes if I remember. I probably won't, but maybe we will. Maybe it's in the description wherever you're at. Because we have an actual quiz on the – yeah, remind me, Jackie. An actual quiz on teamflex.com, teamfflex.com, where you can do this quiz where I basically have decoded – the perfect, this will put you in bikini, wellness, or figure once you do this quiz. But one of the things I say all the time is, again, you know, figure, for example, that's a whole different look. Very muscular for a lot of women. That's a very muscular look. Big cannonball type shoulders, you know, dramatic V tapers. It's got a lot of lower body development like wellness, but the upper body comes to party too. And, you know, there are athletes, you know, in this wellness division now that are moving from wellness to figure. And there's also wellness athletes that are moving down to bikini. And so, you know, it's not to say that you can't try it. You can always go and try, especially for first timers, which is kind of conflicting. I know it's confusing because I say the opposite of this a lot. But again, consider your journey and where you're at in the caliber. At your first competition or something, if you are brand new and you're not very advanced in your physique, I suggest to go try a couple different divisions, maybe, you know, like if you don't know where you're at and you're like, I don't know if I like bikini or I like wellness better, do both, right? If you're not super advanced in your physique, you should be able to. And again, these regional level events, they're going to support crossover a lot of time. And it's for that reason, so that you can go out there, you can experience the different factor of doing both. You can also get different feedback for both, you know, maybe you'll just say, hey, you know what? I saw you up there. You did bikini, you did wellness, you placed in both. Great job. But it looks like you should probably, to continue to advance your look, go into, you know, wellness or bikini, something like that. So it is worth considering to just compete at multiple levels there and try and see where you fit. Because I've also heard this from a lot of girls over the years, you know, like some, even though the posing is very similar, it's not exactly the same, you know, bikini and wellness. It's the routine wise, it's still front and back, right? But a comparison's a little different. But a lot of competitors do not like the kind of bikini poses I found. A lot of women say that they don't prefer that. And there's some that don't even prefer the wellness. And they're like, I prefer like the way more strict standardized bodybuilding of like figure. So that's again, something like if every time you, even if you structurally have a bikini physique or a wellness physique, if every single time you got to go practice your posing, you're like, I hate this. I don't like walking this way. I don't like trying to look this way. This isn't me. This isn't my personality. Well, then you know what? Maybe you should consider not doing that and training your body instead for a division that does support that. Because again, posing and presentation is like a huge, huge part of everything you do. The judges never see how you train. They never give a shit. They're not caring how you diet. They don't care about your cardio. All they see is that, you know, 10 seconds, that 1 minute of you on stage where you're presenting it. So I think that the posing and the presentation really does come into play. Obviously, Jackie, you do posing for Team Flex athletes. Do you find that is true to some degree? Do you find that, you know, there are certain girls maybe that respond really well to a certain type of posing and a look versus others?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of girls are not comfortable in heels and they're not comfortable in these like sultry, sexy movements. And wellness and bikini really lend to that femininity and that sultry look. There is, you know, there's a sassy girl, there's a cutesy girl, there's the sexy girl. We all have a different vibe, but you want to be able to channel some of that femininity. And when you get to like an even figure's so beautiful, but you can do a little bit more posing in figure like a bodybuilder, right? So they do wellness does quarter turns, and I find a lot of girls aren't comfortable in quarter turns. You know, they can't get into those positions. I've worked really hard on my mobility, really hard on my pelvic floor to just be able to get myself into some of these positions. So, not everybody can do that. That it's freaking hard, you know? And you think, oh, I'm just gonna like diet and train, and then you add in the aspect of posing, and it's challenging. So you really need a coach to look at you and get you right, because if you can't pose, then you're going to get exposed next to the girl who can. So it's just all about hiding your flaws and presenting your best on stage.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, some people prefer that really strict thing because I mean, at the end of the day, what we're saying here, and we've given you guys some good tips, but we'll keep going. I'm not saying we're over. I'm just saying what we're saying here is, you know, at the end of the day, this is the crazy thing about bodybuilding that everyone forgets in the Instagram world, in the social media, in the posing seminars, in the teams, in the coaches, in the little cliques of athletes and, you know, following your favorite pros. Bodybuilding is your own journey, everybody. It is your own damn journey, no matter what. And that's the same for wellness, right? So, like, if you're trying to figure out your, for one, what division to be in, and then you got to, for two, figure out how do you want to present in that division, then you have to really understand that, like, everything you do day in, day out, like, I coach Jackie, you guys, Jackie coaches people. I'm not in Fresno. I'm not over at Jackie's house knocking on the door every morning. Hey, Jackie, did you track your macros today? Hey, you got to get your cardio and let's go. Hey, Kevin, get the hell out of here. We got squats. I'm not doing that, right? Because you know what? At the end of the day, whatever she brings to stage is going to be a result of the work she does that I can guide her with, but I'm not doing it. I'm not over there. I can't do the squats for people. I'm not in there training my legs trying to get a quad sweep. I'm not doing that. So
You
what
can
you really
never
got to
get my quad
understand.
sweep.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't even try. I'd
You
be
can
like, you know
never.
what, I retire, I quit. You coach everybody now. Jackie is the queen of quads, you guys. So if you want to get some big legs, go train with her, go over there and do that. But either way, the point is, it's an individual journey. It's your own journey. It is the, you know, at the end of the day, what you get out of it will be what you put into it. And that's all on your level. And the other thing that I think we really need to touch on to kind of combine everything here is, how is your lifestyle set up? How is your actual life? Like, what allows you to be a bodybuilder in the first place? You have to make sure this, like, this is the first question that I ask people now whenever they say they want to prep. I say, okay, great. They're like, hey, I found this show in July. Do you think we could do it? Or, hey, I found a show in 4 weeks. What the fuck are you talking about? Is what I say. But anyway, you know, it's like, okay, great. You want to compete? Awesome. Whatever. Even if the show's in 2 years, I say, okay, what's going on in your life right now then? Tell me a little bit about it. So, do you have other things you're focused on? Do you have other goals you're aiming at? Do you have a crazy schedule going on? Is work feeling pretty good right now? Are you, you know, are you chilling like a villain, or are you fucking dying every day of your life? Because the last thing you need to do, even though people gravitate towards this, is add a prep to actually, you know, a crazy lifestyle. And it can be done. I'm not putting people down that you can do it. Anybody can do anything, by the way. Anybody can literally do anything at least once or twice. And then you suffer the consequences. If you continue to do things, it will screw you up. So, Jackie, how do you know for you? Because obviously we've done, how many comps together have we done now?
This will be our third.
Okay, three. And we've been doing this for 2 years, right? Or more, somewhere in there, somewhere in that ballpark, right? So Jackie's not on stage every week, you guys. She's not on there every 12 weeks because we're building stuff. But also, I think it's an important factor probably to say that, you know, there's times in everyone's life that don't support competing. And there's also, you know, literally, also the season almost works in this way, right? Where in the holiday months, there's not as many bodybuilding shows, everybody. Like, we're prime time bodybuilding right now. Like, this is the zone. And guess what happened a few months ago? January, right? Everybody's done with the holiday. They kick into the new thing and they do a bodybuilding goal. But I think, you know, depending, right? So going back to the workouts, those workouts you got to do to be a wellness competitor take longer than probably somebody that needs to be a bikini competitor. And somebody training for figure is going to be longer probably than a wellness competitor, right? There's, because again, more muscle groups, more things to focus on. So, you know, if your life doesn't support. Yeah, go ahead.
My leg days take 2 hours minimum.
They can,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's with the warm up, and that's with the rest periods, and that's with where I'm at in my journey, needing to grow. So if you are at a place where you've already put on all the muscle you need, then there might be a different level for maintenance and time for maintenance. But when you're trying to grow muscle, you really have to invest your time in the gym and training, and then in recovery, and then in eating. And lifestyle factors are far more important than we think, and it affects every aspect of our body. So if you can't recover properly, you're just going to trash yourself, your nervous system. You know, you're going to tax your nervous system before you tax your muscles, and you're just going to burn out, and you're not going to bring the look you want to bring. You're going to look like beef jerky on stage. You're not going to look, you know, nice and full like filet mignon. Like, we're trying to bring this beautiful muscle look to stage if your life is completely stressed out. So like this is a luxury sport. It's a luxury hobby. It's extremely expensive. So you need to count the cost. Coaches are expensive. Training is expensive. Eating, all the food we have to eat, and the time investment. So yeah, really, you need to ask yourself, like, can I afford to do this? And is this in my budget right now?
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's all about figuring out what is going to work best for you and your lifestyle. Because again, bodybuilding really is a lifestyle. Everybody, wellness is a lifestyle. Quadcast is a fucking lifestyle. Make sure you subscribe, you're following us, because really, that is what you got to do. If you want to get into this sport in any capacity, you're going to have to be able to work all the time to do that, right? So Jackie's going to compete this next couple days here now. I feel like I've been doing this podcast for 8 years, but you know, she's competing in just a couple days, and then guess what happens? She's still the following Monday, probably sooner than that, because she's crazy. She'll be, hey, I gotta get to the gym, I gotta get to do this, I gotta go now, what do I gotta, you know, what are we doing with the diet, what are we doing with the training, where are we at, right? It doesn't end, folks. It does not end when you get to stage. And so you got to consider all the factors, not only that it should, you know, bodybuilding should enhance your physique on stage so that you can do well there. It should also enhance your life. And if it's not, then it's something you got to review. It's something you got to look at. And most of the time, I will tell you, if you feel like it's something that's too hard, you feel like it's too exhausting, you feel like it's too brutal, it's because you're doing shit outside of it that is wrong, okay? There's other areas that need focus and everything else. Like, it blows my mind the amount of people that complain about length of workouts these days. And I don't know what the hell this uptick is. There's almost like coaches competing online to say, like, oh, well, my athlete only does 45 minutes. My athlete, like, what the fuck is this? There was a time when it was about do the work no matter what, as long as it's going to be most optimal and what you're going to get. Like, that is what bodybuilding always was. It was never about like, oh yeah, well, I did my workout in 30 minutes. You did yours in 2 hours. You suck. It was not, you know, like, that was not what it was about. It's about getting your health and your wellness right, and you know, everything else that comes with that, competing on stage and doing well there and doing whatever it takes to continue to be the best version of yourself. And so, you know, to me, whatever, your workout was an hour, your workout was an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. Shit, if your goal is important, fucking go to the gym for 6 hours if that's what it takes. Not that it does, don't do it, you guys. But I'm just saying, that's where your mindset should be. Should be right there. It should be in the mode where you say, I'll do it if that's what it takes. I'll go to the gym. That's my lifestyle. What's wrong with that? The gym is my life, and that's why I want to be a bodybuilder. Otherwise, you know what? If you made it this far and you can't decide what division you want to do or where you want to go, go fucking play basketball. Go do something else. Ping pong. Be a fucking ping pong player. This isn't your sport.
That's it. It really does come down to, you have to have the love and the passion too. You know, there's so many people I know that want shortcuts, and then get a BBL, girl. Like, just do that, you know? But that will not be rewarded on a bodybuilding stage. That will actually hurt you. Yeah. So you got to put the time in. And our culture has gotten very instant gratification, you know, Insta everything, right? Like fast food, fast results and shortcut. It's shortcuts.
Fucking Amazon.
Right. It's DoorDashing your life is not the answer. You need to put the time in and get back to that level of like commitment and hard work. Those things are still really important values. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm old. I feel that. But I tell my kids, you know, nothing good comes easy. Nothing good. Right. Nothing worth having is just easy. So you need to develop the discipline and decide if this is something you want to continue. So yeah, for sure. I don't want anybody on my team who's like, oh my God, this takes so long and I hate this. I'm like, well, then why are you doing this? You know, do something else. Go find something else to do that brings you joy.
And I actually do say that to people. I've had clients. Yeah. I'll be like, okay, so these are you and your goals. And you're going to complain to me about what you got to do to get there. Okay. Correct. If you think you go somewhere else and you figure out something different, I'll tell you what, you won't. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, you know, different coach, different program, different this, different that, the basics are the fucking basics. You could talk to any athlete that is a wellness athlete, a bikini athlete, a, you know, men's physique competitor, a bodybuilder. There's going to be common things in the ground, right? And it's going to be, they train. They also eat a certain way. They also focus on, you know, getting proper recovery and sleep and mindset shit and everything else. Those don't go away no matter where you go. So if you're chasing the faster, if you're chasing the Instagram kind of result, you've missed the point of bodybuilding. You've missed the whole point of what this sport is about. And like the whole reason I became a coach was because I thought that literally by training in the gym, even if you're not a bodybuilder, by the way, by just being involved in your health and fitness, you actually become a better person. I think that you
1,000%.
Do. I think you learn different things. I think you learn and you develop, and you're not only going to be, you know, good on stage, you're also going to be good in everything else you do, right? You look at the bodybuilding industry as a whole, and a lot of the best bodybuilders in the world ever of all time, they also kick ass in other shit, right? Like you look at the top wellness girls, they're doing that. Obviously the given ones, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy became the fucking governor. How the hell did Arnold become the governor? I won't ever know, but you know what? It's probably from some shit he learned doing bodybuilding, right? Same things. Yeah. Jay Cutler, to this day, he's still out there, still running businesses, still doing everything else. So you can take what you learn from bodybuilding and actually apply it to not just bodybuilding, not just that, make it your lifestyle. And then every single step you take throughout your day, whether it's a gym or not, you're actually doing a fucking rep somehow. You're becoming better every day. And that's, I think, the whole point, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So Jackie, I mean, we're coming up on an hour here. Maybe we need to do a part two. I don't know. But if you guys want to hear part two, more stuff on what you should be doing, you know, if you want to be a wellness competitor, we got a whole podcast about this. This is dedicated towards wellness competitors. We are taking ideas. We'll answer questions. We will be covering a lot of things. I see Jackie all the time on her Instagram being like, hey, what do you want me to talk about? In all the episodes we never recorded, but we're here now and we're doing it. So we're going to get them. So Jackie, where can people follow you right now? Where can they kind of interact with you or ask you questions about wellness?
Yeah. So I'm most active on Instagram, at Jackie Gill, and it's spelled J-A-C-I. Everyone calls me JC, by the way, but it's not.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard people say, I'm like, you fucking, it's Jackie. Get it right.
It's Jackie. So follow me on Instagram. I'm very active, you know, in my stories and stuff and answering questions and things. So if you have any questions or you want to work with me, you can go to teamflex.com. And also, if you are looking for a competition suit, I forgot to tell you, we have a sponsorship with Angels Competition Bikinis. So we can save you money. Code Jackie at checkout.
Boom. Yeah. And Jackie is, like I said, the resource to go to grow big quads, you guys. And she's coaching a lot of wellness competitors. She's going to be coaching a lot more because I'm going to make her. And that's what we're doing. So go check out Jackie's page. Make sure you follow and let us know wherever you're watching this in the comments, stuff you want us to talk more about, what kind of direction. Like, we're coming out into a space with this podcast that doesn't exist. Nobody's really doing wellness podcasts. I mean, I think women's bodybuilding, this is my new mission. I think women's bodybuilding in general, like the whole culture of it, is way, way put down compared to where it should be. There's a billion channels on YouTube talking about, oh, this men's call out, this guy, this, that, you know, fuck that shit. We need to do that for all the ladies out here. So that's what we're doing with this podcast. And we want to make it for you. We want to cover topics that you want to know about and give you insight into things. So comment those, let us know what you think. And that's it. You guys know where to find me. I'm at Team Flex. So I think everybody knows that one. See you guys later.